بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن ولاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال تعالى: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، صدق الله المولانا العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected honored scholars, ulama, elders, beloved brothers, and those listening over the receivers, all praise belongs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Peace, blessings, salutations be upon our leader and master, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whilst the precise moment of the day of Qiyamah undoubtedly remains a mystery, however, none can deny nor doubt that the signs of Qiyamah, the symbols of Qiyamah, have become more apparent, more vivid, and more manifest. In the hadith of Jibreel, the famous hadith, where this great angel Jibreel, he visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Nabi alayhi salam a host of questions, the first of which was, Mata sa'ah? O Nabi of Allah, when is the day of Qiyamah? To which Nabi alayhi salam responded, that mal mas'oolu anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'ili, that the one being asked is no more learned than the one that is asking. In other words, the precise moment of the day of Qiyamah, the knowledge of that only Allah knows. The second question of Jibreel was, فَأَخْبِرْنِي أَنْ عَمَرَاتِهَا. Okay, then tell me about the signs of Qiyamah. To which Nabi alayhi salam responded, أَنْتَلِيدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. أَنْتَلِيدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. When a slave girl will give birth to her mistress. The common interpretation the scholars and the ulama have given, what is the meaning of this? A slave girl will give birth to a mistress. When youngsters will dominate over their parents, when juniors will govern over the seniors, then O my sahaba, you should remember that Qiyamah is very close. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salam said, يَتَقَارَبَ الزَّمَانِ, that time will literally rapidly pass by. To such a point, my Nabi said, if you open the books of Ahadith, فَتَكُونُ السَّنَةُ كَالشَّهْرُ وَالشَّهْرُ كَالْجُمُعَةُ وَالْجُمْعَةُ كَالْيَوْمُ, where a year will literally lapse and pass by like a month like a week like a day like an hour, and an hour like a second, and that is how time will go. Today we are sitting, half of Ramadan is already gone. Half of Ramadan is already gone. We can still remember the last Ramadan. The scholars of Hadith have labored in great detail, trying to understand this one Hadith of Nabi Alayhi Salam, that how will time literally rapidly pass by. I share with you two interpretations of the ulama. They say, number one, they say time will literally rapidly pass. Like he comes in the hadith, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ يُقَرِّبَانِ كُلَّ بَعِيدٍ وَيَبْلِيَانِ كُلَّ جَدِيدٍ وَيَأْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَوْعُودٍ. Allah says, reflect over the rapid turn of day and night, night following day, day following night. Allah says, every distant thing is made a reality. I can still recall when my child was born. Today my child is attending school. Then he graduates, he's going to university, and the next thing he's getting married. I ask myself that where are the last 40 years of my life gone to? Nabi alayhi salam said, every new thing becomes old. Like the Arabic poet says it so beautifully. He said, لَنَا خَطٌ وَلِلْأَيَّامِ خَطٌ وَبَيْنَهُمَا مُخَالَفَةُ الْمِدَادِ فَأَكْتُبُهُ سَوَادًا فِي بَيَادِي وَتَكْتُبُهُ سَوَادًا فِي بَيَادًا فِي سَوَادِي. He said, the only difference between me and time is, he said, with black ink, I write on white paper. The time writes with white ink on black air. Time is going. So like the ulama have written the first interpretation, that time will literally rapidly pass by. We see, don't we see it before us today? That's the first interpretation. The second interpretation the ulama have given, they say that time will move at its normal pace, but the individuals of that time will be so gripped in their own misery, in their own depression, that people will lose absolute focus on time. People will lose absolute focus on time. It was the du'as of one of the pious predecessors of Islam. He used to make this du'a in Ramadan. He used to say, Allahumma la tahrimna khayra, Allahumma la tahrimna khayra ma indaka li sharri ma indana. That, O Allah, do not deprive us of your mercy because of our wrong, because of our transgression. O Allah, do not grudge us in any way. Allah Ta'ala does not need you and I. Musa alayhi salam, what did he tell his people? وَقَالَ مُوسَىٰ إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. If the entire world has to turn against Allah. Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, that only Allah tell me, if the entire world has to turn against you, what will you do? Allah Ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam, أُسَلِّتُ عَلَيْهِمُ الدَّبَّةِ. I will set forth on them one animal that I have created. Musa alayhi salam then asked Allah, أَيْنَ تِلْكَ الدَّبَّةِ. Oh Allah, where is this animal that you are talking about? Allah Ta'ala said, فِي مَرْجٍ مِّن مُرُوجِي. That animal is in one of my stables. In other words, there are many such stables that Allah has created. Allah then told Musa that this animal is so huge that in one morsel it will devour and swallow the seven earths, seven heavens and seven earths in one morsel. That is the power of Allah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ حَمِيدٌ. Musa alayhi salam said, Allah is totally independent. Allah Ta'ala does not need you and I. What does the Quran say? وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. Allah says, when you disobey Allah, when you disobey Allah, Allah says, I have that ability of destroying the entire universe. You'll not find one living creature on this earth. Under the quotation of this particular verse of the Quran Kareem, Abdullah ibn Abbas used to say, he said, if Allah's decision has to come to destroy the entire creation, then this decision will be nothing but justice from the side of Allah. Allah Ta'ala does not need you and I. Despite our transgression, despite our sinning, Allah has granted us so much. Yet we become a nation that constantly complain. We constantly complain to the Almighty Allah. Ask any man today how things are. Things are bad. Things are bad. When last did you praise Allah? What did my Nabi say? Man asbaha minkum mu'afan fi jasadi, aminan fi silbi, indahu kutu yawmi, faka'annama huyizat lahu dunya bihazafiriha, ay jumiyat bitamamiha ukama qal. You get up in the morning, your back is straight. You can walk, you can talk. Your faculties are operating. You have shelter above you. You have a plate of food in front of you. My Nabi said, consider yourself to be the king of the world. Consider yourself to be the king of the world. I just want to focus on one aspect, brothers. You know, there are so many points when I was performing salah, what to speak about. Allah Ta'ala, we need to understand, Allah has blessed us with Ramadan. What does the Quran say? مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala, Allah derives absolutely no benefit by keeping you and I hungry and thirsty. If we study the lives of Sahaba, you will find that hunger and thirst was something that was not restricted or confined to the month of Ramadan. For you and I, we know the sighting of the crescent of Shawwal, that is the end of Ramadan. For Sahaba, hunger and thirst was part and parcel of their daily lives. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day somebody came to him and he said, "Oh Umar, hadithna ya Umar." This was the giant Umar. He said, "Umar, you accepted Islam in the initial stages of Islam. Tell me, what were the initial stages of Islam like?" He said, "There are many things I can share with you, but I will tell you one thing." He said, "I remember in the initial stages, it was the battle of Tabuk. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascends the pulpit of Masjid al-Nabawi, and Nabi alayhi salam began making tashkil. Who is ready to strive in the path of Allah?" There were some munafiqeen in Medina at that time. What did they say? Allah speaks about this in the concluding verses of the 10 juz of the Quran al-Kareem. فَرِحَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ بِمَقَعَدِهِمْ خِلَافَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَكَرِهُوا أَن يُجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ What did they say? Allah's Nabi wants us to strive. The heat is too intense. The heat is too intense. How often don't we hear people complaining that the fast got to me today? What did they say? The heat is too intense. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed the verse of the Quran. قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمْ أَشَدُّ حَرَّا You are complaining about the heat of this world. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them that the heat of Jahannam is much more, you can multiply it many more folds compared to the heat of this world. Abu Huraira, riwayat of Hilya, he enters Masjid al-Nabawi. He looks at Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam was sitting and performing salah. Nabi alayhi salam, he looks at Nabi alayhi salam. He said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, what's the matter? Mali uraka tusalli jalisan ya Rasulullah. What's the matter? You're sitting and performing salah." Nabi alayhi salam said, "Oh Abu Huraira, what can I tell you? 3 days have lapsed and nothing edible has entered the belly of your Nabi. 3 days have lapsed, nothing edible has entered the belly of your Nabi." Asma, mothers and sisters that are listening, listen to this incident. Today we complain about Ramadan. Brothers, Allah has made it so easy for us. The days are so short. What is there to complain about? You travel to some countries of the world. They are fasting 19 hours, 20 hours. You know, what is there to complain about? Allah forbid. You know, we hear comments, people complaining that masjid, Taraweeh is finishing 15 minutes early. Hafiz Saab, can't you read a little faster? What a sick society we are living in. Just 3 days ago, brothers, one sister calls me. And she said, "Maulana, I'm faced with a predicament." I said, "What is it, my sister?" She said, "Few nights ago, my husband came from Taraweeh. He's sitting and watching soccer. So 12 o'clock at night, he's looking at the devil box, watching the soccer. So I told him, it's time to sleep. You know, just now will be tahajjud, suhoor. You know, put the TV off." She says, "My husband tells me, you put the TV off, I will give you talaq. You decide what you want to do." What a sick society we are living in. I mean, for you and I, you know, to stand and listen to Quran, to listen to Quran has become so difficult. Yet to stand outside and sit in a coffee shop and a restaurant and spend the entire Saturday night means absolutely nothing. Hassan Basri used to say, "Adraktu aqwaman kana ahaduhum ash-shahha ala umrihi minhu ala dirhamihi." I sat with a group of sahaba. I found that they were more possessive over the time than the wealth. Ask a man for time today. He will sit with you from Taraweeh right till Fajr. He will think absolutely nothing of it. But ask a man for money, he won't give you a cent. Hassan Basri said, "I found a group of Sahaba. I found them to be more possessive over the time than the wealth." So Asma says, she says, "My husband went out. He left early in the morning." Listen to this narration. She says, "I was expecting mother. The child that was born was given the name Khadija. She says, my husband is gone out. She says, I was experiencing such hunger. What I'm saying, that hunger and thirst was not confined to the month of Ramadan for Sahaba. It was something that was the order of the day. She says that we had one Yahudi neighbor. وَلَنَا جَارٌ مِّنَ الْيَهُودِ. We had one Yahudi neighbor. And she said, I opened the curtain and I had seen this Yahudi neighbor. She put up a fire and she was roasting a lamb. She said, the aroma was entering into my room. I could not contain myself. She said, I feel embarrassed to ask the neighbor for something to eat. So she said, I thought I will present my needs to her and tell her, can you give me some firewood? Asma says, I was expecting mother. She said, I went outside. I asked her, can you give me some wood? So she says, take pieces of wood. Asma says, I began inhaling the smoke. She says, my desperation knew no bounds. She says, I could not contain myself. Second time I went, I asked her for some wood. Same thing happens. She said, as I was about to exit again, just then her husband comes home. And the husband asked her, the Yahudi neighbor, that tell me, did anybody come home today? So she said, yes, that Arab neighbor of ours came home. What did she ask you for? She asked me for some pieces of wood. What did you give her? I gave her some pieces of wood. Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha says, they prepared a platter of food and they sent it to me. She said, I ate that platter of food with such a relish. She said, it was the best meal I enjoyed in my entire life. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there are so many narrations, brothers. He enters Masjid al-Nabawi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looks at Nabi alayhi salam, the words of the riwayat, وَقَدْ ذَهَبَ أَنْ أَثَرِهِ أَسَرُ الدَّمْ. Nabi alayhi salam's cheeks had become deadly yellow. The effects of blood had left his cheeks due to the pangs of hunger that Nabi alayhi salam was experiencing. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I left Masjid al-Nabawi. I found a job. I earned some income. And I came to Masjid al-Nabawi and I presented a date to Nabi alayhi salam. He said Nabi alayhi salam looked at the date. He said Nabi alayhi salam was so elated. There was a sparkle in his eye. And he said, oh Jabir, what joy you have brought to me today. Oh Jabir, what can I tell you? 3 days have passed and nothing has entered into the belly of your Nabi. Nabi alayhi salam said, Jabir, you have brought this date. Brothers, we have this habit in Ramadan. Just to digress for a few minutes. What Allah has kept, what rewards Allah has kept in feeding. Nabi alayhi salam took this date. He took one bite. And then he called Abu Bakr. And he gave Abu Bakr a piece of the date. And he said, Abu Bakr, do you know what is the virtue of feeding a person that is fasting? Nabi Ali Abu Bakr said, O Nabi of Allah, tell me. Nabi Ali Salam said, listen to this, that person who feeds one man for the pleasure of the Almighty Allah, we are not speaking about a pauper, a person who is fasting. Nabi Ali Salam said, that person who feeds one man for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will give him the reward as though he fed Adam Ali Salam. That person who feeds two people for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will give him the reward as though he fed Adam alayhi salam and Bibi Hawa. That person who feeds 3 people for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will give him the reward as though he fed Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam and Israfil alayhi salam. That person who feeds 4 people for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will give him the reward as though he had recited the Torah, the Zabur, the Injil and the entire Quran. That person who feeds 5 people for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will give that person the reward of all those people that perform 5 times salah. That person who feeds 6 people for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will give that person the reward as though he freed 60 slaves from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam. You feed 7 people for the pleasure of Allah. The riwayat then goes on. that 7 doors of Jahannam will be closed for you. You feed 8 people for the pleasure of Allah, the 8 doors of Jannah will be open for you. My Nabi said, when you die, like we learn from the riwayat, a person who does not discharge his zakah, his wealth will take up the form of a venomous serpent and animal. And when you are lying in your grave, the serpent will come to you. It will bite you. It will poison you. And it will say, Ana kanzuk, ana maluk. I am your wealth. I am your hoarded treasure. From that which you do not discharge zakah. Nabi Ali Salam has taught us that good deed that you do in this world will take up the form of an angel in your grave. Will take up the form of an angel in your grave. So Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, he said, I brought the day to Nabi Ali Salam. And in that same narration, one part of that hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, he says, one day we were traveling with Nabi Ali Salam in a certain battle. And Nabi Ali Salam experienced such hunger. Nabi Ali Salam said, Abu Huraira, you've got anything to eat? So he says, O Nabi of Allah, I've got a packet of dates. Brothers, these are not fairy tales. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi has made reference to this incident. He said, I presented this packet of dates to Nabi Ali Salam. Nabi Ali Salam, he took his blessed hands, he placed it in this packet of dates. And Nabi Ali Salam made dua of barakah. Brothers, there is no barakah left in our lives. Like a man tells you, 10 years ago, I earned 2,000 rands. End of the day, I had some change left. Today, I am earning 20,000 rands. Yet end of the month, 20th of the month, the money is finished. There is no barakah left in life anymore. Abu Huraira says, Nabi Ali Salam made dua of barakah. Allahu Akbar. He said, Nabi Ali Salam put his hand inside and he made dua. That oh Allah bless the life of Abu Huraira. On the dua of Nabi Ali Salam, Nabi Ali Salam told him, Abu Huraira, one request I have. Whenever you eat from this packet of dates, do not look inside. Put your hand inside, eat, feed your family and feed your companions. Abu Huraira says, lengthy narration, brothers, I don't have time to discuss the details. Abu Huraira says, I continued eating from that packet of dates through the entire Khilafat of Abu Bakr, through the Khilafat of Umar. When Sayyidina Usman was assassinated, he said on that particular day, I lost that packet of dates. Historians have written, from that one packet of dates, Abu Huraira says, I ate for more than 27 years. For more than 27 years. That is when Allah's Nabi has made dua of barakah. Study the lives of the great Akabirin. This great giant, Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i, whom you and I are indebted to the jurisprudence of Imam Shafi'i rahimahumullah. Imam Shafi'i had memorized the Quran al-Kareem at the age of 7. Really, brothers, you and I have traveled to various countries of the world. In certain countries that you go, just the other day, one brother contacted me from Australia, from Sydney in Australia. He said that, Molana, in this entire city, there isn't one hafiz to lead us in the Taraweeh Salah. Yet we find in this country, masajid, musallas, jamakanas, people's homes, garages, Taraweeh is being performed. This is a singular bounty that Allah has showered upon this country. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala increase that. In fact, when Sheikh Salal Budair, I remember when he came to South Africa a few years ago, he said, I heard this from him personally. He says there are more huffaz in the non-Arab country than the Arab countries itself. You find youngsters who don't understand the language of Arabic. And really, brothers, this is my message also. We need to make a concerted effort to understand the language of the Quran. Allah be my witness. You and I have been barred from volumes of Islamic knowledge because we have not made an effort to learn the language of Quran al-Kareem. Make an effort to learn the language of Quran. Then when you listen to the incidents that are mentioned in Quran, then you will feel that nur of Quran being lit within you. So nonetheless, so Abu Huraira, he then continues. He said, you know, he's sitting with his sahaba, with Nabi Ali Salam's companions, and he's narrating this incident. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, can I share something with you? The hadith can be found in Bukhari. Under the chapter, Babu man zara qawman walam yuftir indahum. He said, Nabi Ali Salam on one occasion, Nabi Ali Salam came to visit us. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said, my mother Umme Sulaim, she presented a platter of food, some pudding to Nabi Ali Salam. So Nabi Ali Salam said, Inni Sa'imun, I am fasting. So she said, my apologies. Keep it, we could have it later on. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I was a young child. Nabi Ali Salam went to one side of the house, فَصَلَّ غَيْرَ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ Nabi Ali Salam performed some nawafil salah. So Anas says, my mother Umme Sulaim, she came to Nabi Ali Salam. Now what I'm saying is that when Allah's Nabi made dua for barakah, how much of dua do we make for barakah in our lives? I always say that. Brothers, after salah, we pick up our hands. We say, oh Allah, grant me barakah in my dealings. Oh Allah, bless my dealings. You step out of the masjid, you're signing an interest-related deal. How do you expect barakah to come in your business? You're having a fabulous function. You call some qari sahab to read one qiraat. Call some scholar to give a profound lecture. And next thing, you have music blasting. How do you expect barakah to come into that marriage? So nonetheless, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Nabi Ali Salam came. My mother Umme Sulaim, she said, oh Nabi of Allah, this is my son Anas. I know you love him. He's like your own son. Make dua for him. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, that Nabi Ali Salam made dua for me. Nabi Ali Salam made dua of barakah. He said, such barakah I had seen in my life. Such barakah I saw in my life. He said, when Nabi Ali Salam made dua for me, one person asked me in that gathering of Abu Hurairah. He says, I had seen the dua of Nabi Ali Salam manifesting before me in to such a point. He said, every other person in Medina, their date trees used to give up fruit once every year. When Nabi Ali Salam made dua for me, my trees used to give up fruit twice every year. He said, not only that, he said, Allah bless me. Ulama have written, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he lived way beyond the 90 mark. He said, my children and my grandchildren went way over the 100 mark. That is when we make dua for barakah. Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i, at the age of 7, he had memorized the Quran al-Kareem. At the age of 10, he had memorized the Mu'atta of Imam Malik. That's the book of Hadith. At the age of 15, Imam Shafi'i, he had become the Grand Mufti. He was issuing verdicts on Islam at the age of 15. Imam Shafi'i, whilst he was on his deathbed, one of his students entered to greet him. And they said, كيف أصبحت يا إمام? Oh Imam Shafi'i, what does it look like? He said, أصبحت من الدنيا راحلا. I am on my way out of the world. والإخواني مفارقا. And very soon I would have to separate from those around me. ولسوءي أعمالي ملاقيا. Very soon I would have to put up with my evil actions. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ وَارِدًا And I would have to present in the court of the Almighty Allah. لَا أَدْرِي رُوحِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ فَأُحَنِّيهَا أَوْ إِلَى النَّارِ فَأُعَزِّيهَا He says, I don't know whether my soul will make it to Jannah, then I could congratulate it. Or whether my soul is destined for the hellfire, then I would have to console it. He memorized the Quran at the age of 7, the Mu'atta at the age of 10. He became the Grand Mufti at the age of 15. Routinely in the month of Ramadan, Imam Shafi'i used to complete one Quran by day, one Quran by night. In essence, he completed 60 Qurans. What was the lives of these great giants of Islam? Jalaluddin Mahalli, he writes, أَلَّفْتُهُ فِي قَدْرِ مِعَادِ الْكَلِيمِ The book Jalalain, that is a book of tafsir. The author of this book writes, he said, Allah favored me to compile the commentary of half the Quran in the duration that Moses went to meet his Lord at Mount Tur, and that was 40 days. Now his 40 days also comprised of 24 hours. But like I always say, what he achieved in 40 days, Allah's qasam, you and I will not achieve in 40 years. That was barakah in time. That was barakah in time. Now brothers, the ayat kareema that I recited before you, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about the fundamental reason as to why you and I are fasting. Like I said, Allah derives no benefit by keeping you and I hungry. I shared with you incidents that hunger and thirst was not something that was restricted to Ramadan. For you and I at the crescent of Shawwal, we know that is the end of Ramadan. Or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 hours down the line, I will be making iftar. Sahaba did not know where the next meal is coming from. So Allah speaks about the wisdom of fasting. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. What is the wisdom of fasting? Allah says so that you could bring discipline in your lives. Like the ulama have explained very beautifully. You know the famous hadith. Or Nabi Allah advises us that you should delay the sihri right up to the last point. And you should expedite iftar. As soon as the sun sets, you need to break your fast. The ulama have written, if you analyze this particular advice of Nabi alayhi salam, Nabi alayhi salam said, as long as my ummah will partake of suhoor, Allah will bless that ummah. Allah will bless that person. There is no spiritual connotations outwardly attached to that. You know, to delay the sahri and to take iftar early. The ulama have written, in that one command of Nabi alayhi salam, Allah's Nabi is teaching us discipline. Ramadan is there to discipline our lives. Ramadan is there to discipline our lives. If we study the life of Adam alayhi salam, brothers, every one of us that are sitting here, every one of us are sinners. We cannot get away from it. The ulama have written that Allah accepted the forgiveness of Adam alayhi salam primarily for 5 reasons. Allah accepted the tawbah when Adam alayhi salam had eaten from that forbidden tree. We all know the incident. He was expelled from Jannah. He had to come onto this dunya and he cried before the Almighty Allah. Then only his tawbah was accepted. Adam alayhi salam, when he had eaten from that forbidden tree, he was expelled from Jannah. When he made dua to the Almighty Allah, Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi writes that for 5 reasons Allah accepted the tawbah of Adam alayhi salam. They say number one, the first reason as to why Allah accepted his tawbah, Aqarra ala nafsi. He acknowledged his wrong. He admitted his mistake. Brothers, do we acknowledge our wrong? Do we admit our mistake? I'm not sitting before you to ask you to make a revolution in your life. But my brother, let us do one thing, change one thing in your life this Ramadan. At least you will have something to show the Almighty Allah. So Adam alayhi salam, he admitted his wrong. He acknowledged his mistake, number one. Number two, Nadima. Adam alayhi salam regretted his wrong. Do you really regret your mistake? You know, sometimes it happens that the wife upsets you. You become upset with her. You take off with her. Or you vent your anger at the young child, at your young baby. And then you realize the blunder. You are emotionally overpowered. What happens? What do? You embrace your child. Or you bring a bunch of roses, a box of chocolates for the wife. You embrace her. Why? You realize your blunder. Brothers, do we realize, do we regret our wrong? Ask ourselves the question, do we regret our wrong? Number three, ulama have written, La manafsa. Adam alayhi salam blamed himself and no one else. He blamed himself and no one else. Number four, asra'u tawbah. Adam alayhi salam hastened in making tawbah. And you know, we learned from the beautiful, you know, study the Quran al-Kareem. The fifth reason ulama have written, Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi, Adam alayhi salam did not become despondent in the mercy of the Almighty Allah. Just few nights ago we heard Surah Yusuf. We all know the incident of Surah Yusuf. When the brothers connived against him. And you know, they threw him into the well. Just to take you to the point of focus. They took out the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam. And they played on the fear of the father. And what did they do? They killed a wolf. And they soiled the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam in the blood of the wolf. And they came to the father pretending that indeed your fear has become a reality. And the wolf has devoured Yusuf. Yaqub alayhi salam was the Nabi of Allah. He looked at the shirt and he said, Subhanallah, what an intelligent wolf. It did not even tear the shirt of my son, it only stained it with blood. He said, oh my sons, I know this is your ploy. Yaqub alayhi salam, brothers, imagine your son does not come back home from school. 1 day goes, 2 days goes, or your son meets up in an accident. He's hospitalized. He's in a coma. 1, 2, 3 months go. what happens to that parent? You know, you go into a state of depression, and after 3 or 4 months, somebody comes to you and they tell you that your son has opened his eyes. What will happen to that parent? Or your son has been found? Can you explain? Are there any words in any language to explain the ecstasy of that parent, the happiness of that parent? Yaqub alayhi salam, he loses one son, Yusuf. And then we know as the incident unfolds, he loses a second son, Binyamin. For what period of time? Not 1 year, not 2 years. Ulama have written, some of them have mentioned 40 years. Some of them have written 80 years. What advice did he give to his other sons? That la tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Oh my sons, do not become despondent in the mercy of Allah. Do not become despondent in the mercy of Allah. Like I always say, our tendency is, we want instant results. You know when Musa alayhi salam made dua to the Almighty Allah. Musa alayhi salam made dua to the Almighty Allah, destroy Fir'aun. Allah speaks about this in Surah Yunus, in the 11 juz of the Quran al-Kareem. Allah, you bless Fir'aun with so much. Like when Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi, you know he writes about Fir'aun. He said, where did Fir'aun die? Bayezid Bustami has written that Fir'aun in his entire life, not one day did he ever experience a headache. That was the perpetual affluence that Allah had given him. He said if only one day if Allah had to give him a headache, Fir'aun would have never claimed to be Allah. He would have never claimed divinity. So Musa alayhi salam makes dua to the Almighty Allah. That, oh Allah, you have given Fir'aun too much of respite. Oh Allah, put an end to him. Musa alayhi salam was Kaleemullah. He used to communicate with the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala told him, accepted. Your dua is accepted. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala has written, he said the dua of Musa alayhi salam had only manifested itself 40 years later. 40 years later, you and I want instant results. You put the card in the machine, you know, you want instant cash. You press the button, instant hot water. We pick up our hands, we want instant results. It doesn't work that way. Brothers, Allah knows when to give it to you and how to give it to you. What does Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi write about Fir'aun? How did Fir'aun die? Mata maliku misra, ba'idan an arshihi, ba'idan an sultanihi, la tabibun yudawihi, wala sadiqun yuwasihi, wala aynun tabakihi. That dies the tyrant, arrogant ruler Fir'aun. Where does he die? He dies in the center of the ocean, far away from his throne, far away from his dominion. There is no doctor to treat him. There is no friend to pacify him. There isn't an eye to shed a tear on his death. My brother, when will you die? When will I die? This could be your last Ramadan. Omar is sitting on the pulpit of his Nabi. Somebody comes to him and whispers into his ears that so and so has passed away. Omar looks at him and he said, you have brought to me the news of the death of so and so. He said, what can I tell you? Allah be my witness. Tomorrow somebody else will be sitting on the same pulpit and they will tell you that Omar is gone. One day it is that alim, one day that woman, one day that child. Will my time not come? Homes have become deserted, qabristans are full. There is no place to bury. Brothers, let me leave you with the words of Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi. You know, there's so much more we could mention. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi writes, and like I mentioned, the fifth point that he says, do not become despondent in the mercy of the Almighty Allah. He thereafter goes on to mention, he said when a person perpetrates a crime, he said the sin itself is bad. But he said what has happened today, people have taken it a step further. And he says, number one, al-istizghar, that people commit sins and people trivialize the wrongs that they do. If Allah, like I always say, you find the month of Ramadan, that beard is taking a beautiful shape on your face. My brother, what happens at the sighting of the crescent of Shawwal? My sisters that are listening, that beautiful hijab and niqab that you don in Ramadan. What happens after Ramadan? We need to continue. We restrict our intentions to Ramadan. Allah aids us accordingly. So, Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi says, Don't trivialize any wrong that you do. If it is your weakness, make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah will inspire you to continue after Ramadan. He said number one. Number two, al-istibshar, to rejoice over the wrongs that you do. Nabi alayhi salam is sitting with his companions. One sahabi comes to Nabi alayhi salam and he's speaking about the pre-Islamic era. He said, O Nabi of Allah, before Islam, I did this and I did that. Nabi alayhi salam said, if Allah has concealed your faults, what gives you the right to expose it? How many times we sit and we speak about the days gone past? You know, the dark days of our lives. I bedded so many women. How many youngsters gathered today? You know, they sit together. Last night I was with that woman. I won so much of money in the casino. He says, do not rejoice over the wrong that you do. And number three, Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi writes, and this is something very, very important. He said, do not persist and insist on a sin that you are committing. Why? He said that sin will catch up with you at some stage or the other in your life. Ask the doctors, they will tell you. The most difficult patient to treat is a patient that denies that he's suffering from an illness or a sickness. You have a sickness, you go to a doctor, the doctor now detects cancer in you. You tell the doctor, there's nothing wrong with me. That's the most difficult patient to treat. You need to acknowledge your sickness. Like I said, brothers, we need to acknowledge our wrongs. We need to admit our mistakes. Do not persist with the wrong. A person says, I got diabetes. You know, I'm eating so much of this, so much of that. Like one brother, you know, in Pietermaritzburg, you know, he says that years ago I went to the doctor. So the doctor told me that you need to maintain a very balanced lifestyle. And really this is something Ramadan also teaches us, that we need to discipline our lives. One brother told me the other day, he said, Maulana, in Ramadan, I put on more weight than outside Ramadan. Subhanallah. How sad is it? What did Nabi alayhi salam teach us? When you make iftar, what should you make iftar on? On dates and water. Sahaba ikram used to say, Aisha says, my Nabi used to make iftar on dry dates. If that was not available, he will sip few sips of water. How many masajid you go to? See the youngster standing outside the masjid, cigarette in one hand, coke in the other hand. That's how we're making iftar. What did Nabi alayhi salam teach us? Make iftar on dates. Make iftar on water. Ramadan is there to discipline our lives, brothers. Our eating habits. That's a separate topic on its own. You know, we need to discipline our eating habits. We all know what happens. Some of us, we cannot even stand in Taraweeh. I mean, you have a solid meal for iftar. You know, it doesn't even digest. You're standing in Taraweeh, you're burping from the front, you're burping from everywhere else. The man who's standing 10 steps away from you knows exactly what you had eaten for iftar. So adopt a disciplined lifestyle, brothers. Adopt a disciplined lifestyle. You know, there was one person, the riwayat appears in Tirmizi. He had come to Medina. He was a medical doctor. He opened 6 months down the line, no patients. You know, he was in the wrong place. Perhaps he should come to South Africa. You know, where all the eating outlets are. So he came to the people of Medina. They tell me, what do you people eat? So they said, Allah's Nabi has taught us one thing. Sulusun li ta'ami, wa sulusun li sharabi, wa sulusun li nafasi. A third for food, a third for drink, a third for air, and nothing else. Nabi alayhi salam did not only mention that, he lived up to it. He lived up to it. Look at obesity. In fact, I was reading one article. You know, brothers, let me terminate. There are so many thoughts that come to mind. 2 or 3 minutes, I will wrap up. So I was reading this article. They say one of the biggest problems in America today amongst the youth, it is obesity. They say, you know, they speak about lowering the levels of obesity. It's like a young child. You come to a McDonald's and what do they say? Give me a double cheeseburger with a Diet Coke. They speak about lowering the levels of obesity. They say 80 to 90% of the youth of America are obese. What did my Nabi say? خَيْرُكُمْ قَرْنِي. The best era is my era. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. Then those who will come after me. Then Nabi alayhi salam said, speaking about this ummah, the latter stage of this ummah, close to Qiyamah. ثُمَّ يَجِيءُ قَوْمٌ. A nation will come close to Qiyamah. يَشْهَدُونَ وَلَا يُسْتَشْهَدُونَ. They will give evidence, they will not be asked to do so. They will abuse the trust that will be given to them. And then my Nabi said, يُظْهَرُ فِيهِمُ السِّمَنُ أو كَمَا قَالَ, that fatness and obesity will become common amongst all of them. You know, like on light note, they say one day husband and wife, after 30 years of marriage, so the wife is standing in front of the mirror, you know, preparing for bed. She says, darling, look at my figure, man. You know, my stomach is obese. My thighs are lumpy. My arms are flabby. Can't you even say something to cheer me up? So the husband looks at her and he says, darling, there's one thing I can tell you. At least your sight is perfect. You're seeing well. Your sight is perfect. So brothers, let us make dua to the Almighty Allah. Like I had mentioned, you know, this is my message. Make this intention of changing one thing in Ramadan. Change one thing in Ramadan. You'll have something to show the Almighty Allah. I'm not asking you to make a revolution in your life. Continue with one good action that you are doing in Ramadan. For some of us that are sitting, we're involved in interest. Make this intention of giving it up. Some of us, we've got the habit of listening to music. For Allah's sake, give it up for the pleasure of the Almighty Allah. We have attached ourselves to Quran. I always like to make mention of this. Some years ago, I was in America. There was one elderly brother. I spoke about the respect of Quran and the importance of Quran and memorizing the Quran Kareem. What did my Nabi say? He said, on one sajda, when you make sajda in Taraweeh, every sajda that you make in Taraweeh, Allah will give you 4,000 rewards. On every sajda that you make, Allah will give you 4,000 rewards. This brother, he came to me and he said that, Maulana, I've got this desire of studying the kalam of Allah. I said, you make the intention, Allah will make it easy for you. I see there are many elderly people here and many of us feel I'm already gone ahead in life. You know, my memory is gone weak and things like that. Where can I ever do this? This brother, I used to teach him after Fajr. I remember that 1 month of Ramadan, he had memorized, I think, 7 or 8 pages of the Quran Kareem. I said that continue after Ramadan. 5 years later, I hadn't heard from him. He said that, Maulana, I've got some good news for you. I said, what is it? He said, Alhamdulillah, I have memorized the entire Kalam of Allah. So make this intention in Ramadan. Make this intention of continuing. Allah will make it easy for you. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala accept our fasting of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala accept our Taraweeh. Brothers, at the same time, we know what is happening in Palestine. You know the crisis in Palestine, in Gaza in particular. Our brothers and sisters are going through great difficulty. Whilst you and I, we enjoy. At the time of iftar, we are sitting with our families. You know, we have a, you know, 5-6 course meal. You know, one is iftar, then you go home and you have another, you have dinner after Taraweeh and then late at night and at suhoor also. So what I'm saying, let us pay thought for those who are suffering in different parts of the world. Brothers, my last message to you is, and I spoke about this at the masjid few nights ago, let us make this intention. We share in the Palestinian crisis. The Imam of Masjid Aqsa phoned me on Friday morning. And he said that when you're giving a lecture, he said, give this message to the South African Ummah. Tell them to come and stand side by side with the Palestinians. We don't want your money. We want your support. And he mentioned this to me. And really, this is something that made me so happy. He said, from all the countries of the world, he said, the country that is supporting the Palestinian cause the most is the South Africans, the South African government, the South African people, the South African Muslims. Alhamdulillah, brothers, this is my message. I leave you with one hadith of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam said, man ahalla bihajjin aw umratin min masjid aqsa, that person who dons the ihram in Masjid Aqsa, and thereafter you perform hajj or you perform umrah, my Nabi said, I will hold your hands and I will walk you into the gardens of Jannah. Latch on to this one hadith of Nabi alayhi salam. There was one brother some years ago, I made mention of this hadith of Nabi alayhi salam. I met him sometime later and he said that, Maulana, you know, I heard that one hadith of Nabi alayhi salam. I was so inspired by this. He said, I got my entire family together, 60 of us. He said, we went to Masjid Aqsa, we donned our ihram, and we performed umrah from there. So brothers, this is my message. We have traveled the world. Alhamdulillah, some of us have been for Umrah. Allah take us again and again to those blessed lands. But inshallah, make this intention of going and standing on that land of Al-Aqsa. Then you'll feel that spiritual bond with that land where my Nabi said, that is the land of Hashar, that is the land of Anbiya, and that is the land of prophets. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala, accept our fasting of Ramadan. And like I always say, Ramadan is like putting up a building. May yablughul bunyana yawman tamama. Your fast is a construction, like putting a brick. Your zakat is a construction. Your tilawat is a construction. Your dua is a construction. But the misuse of your eyes will be a destruction. The misuse of your tongue will be a demolishing. One person stood up before the Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala told him, flip through your pages. He started flipping. Allah asked him everything in order. He said, yes Allah. Allah Ta'ala told him, continue flipping. He said, oh me Allah, I fasted one entire month of Ramadan. I don't find it to my credit. Allah Ta'ala told him, because you used to backbite about people, I've omitted your fast of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala inspire us. Brothers, like I always say, there is a fire of sin that is crossing the world. We need to extinguish that fire. We don't need another match. We will welcome any person with any quantity of water to extinguish that fire. When you are building, continue building, brothers. Don't drop that building that you have built after Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala inspire us with the reality. Recite Durud Sharif. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين Oh the most merciful Allah, Oh the most compassionate Allah, Ya Allah forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah forgive all our sins, forgive our major sins, forgive our minor sins, Ya Allah. Forgive those sins that we committed in the brightness of the day. Forgive those sins that we committed in the darkness of the night, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all those sins that we committed knowingly, those sins that we committed unknowingly, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we beg you on this momentous occasion, in this blessed month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Do not reject our Ramadan. Accept our fasting, Ya Allah. Accept our Taraweeh. Accept all our ibadat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make it easy for our brothers and sisters, Ya Allah, in different parts of the world, especially those who are suffering in Palestine, Ya Allah, in Lebanon, in Egypt, Ya Allah, in different parts of the world. Ya Allah, bring victory to this ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you have made it so easy for us in this country, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not put restrictions upon the Muslims in this country, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make it easy for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are sick, grant them complete shifa, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those who are suffering from depression and sicknesses, Ya Allah, grant them complete shifa, Ya Allah. Those who have passed on, Ya Allah, some of us have lost our near and dear ones, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make them maghfirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive them, Ya Allah. Grant them the highest above, high stages, Ya Allah, in Jannat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, some of us have lost our parents, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant them the most befitting reward, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, some of us, our parents are alive. Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq that we could serve our parents right to the last, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this blessed month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, whatever du'as he had asked from you, Ya Allah, grant us a share in all that goodness, and whatever Nabi alayhi salam asked protection from, Ya Allah, we seek protection from all those things. Anta al-musta'an, wa alayka al-balagh, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim, wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka anta at-tawwab ar-rahim. Allahumma ij'al ijtima'ana ijtima'an marhuma, wa تفرقنا من بعده تفرق معصوما سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين